Isn't this awesome?
Yeah.
Isn't this awesome to be here in this room together to celebrate 50 years? Look at that. 50 years. I love that song, You Have Done Great Things. And so I get to do what I'm calling the abridged version of Ashworth Church history. So if you've been here before, you may have heard on this Sunday in the past, I've done this a few times, but I love the history of this church. I love to think about what went through the minds of the people that said, you know what, let's go to West Des Moines. There needs to be a Bible church, a Bible Baptist church here in West Des Moines. Let's go reach more people. And that conversation actually happened in 1971. At Crestwood Baptist Church, which is in Des Moines, close to the Drake neighborhood, still there, still a vibrant church today, there was a missions council. And this missions council got together, and there was a man, George Rogers Sr. He said, hey, I think we need to look towards West Des Moines. Let's figure this out. I think we could put a church there that could help reach that community. And they said, let's explore that possibility. And so they did. And right here on the screen, these are like the minutes from the meeting that we have in a scrapbook here at the church that show what they talked about. And I cut out the portion that said, you know, we're here to talk about planting this church. So that was in August. In September, eight people, doesn't sound like a lot, but eight people got together in a home and they started to formulate a plan to launch the West Des Moines Baptist Fellowship. And they set a budget. You ready for this? $18,000 was that first budget that they set. Now, just so you know, with inflation, I went to the inflation calculator for all the numbers you'll hear today. That was $122,000. So for eight people to set that budget, that's a pretty faith-filled, aggressive budget, isn't it? I will say, as I've studied through the history, there are multiple names that we have been called. It started off, it's either West Des Moines Baptist Fellowship. There's references to West Des Moines Mission. There's West Des Moines Baptist Chapel and even West Des Moines Baptist Church. I think the last one is what stuck, the West Des Moines Baptist Church. They get together, they put this plan together, and it is 50 years to the day where they plan to launch their very first service. November 21st, 1971 at Fair Meadows School here in West Des Moines. In fact, as they got ready and to launch, they put things in the advertisements in the paper. They had flyers that they printed up. You can see some of those things here. There's news articles that were printed. That was the top left one there is from the West Des Moines Express. On November 8th, 1971, you've got, it says, forming a new Baptist union, a couple of advertisements there, and then a flyer that we've got that says, you know, the West Des Moines Baptist Church welcomes you, all in preparation for that first service. They met at the school. There were 42 people in attendance that day at that school. Now, I don't believe we have anybody in the room today. The closest we would have would be Lyle and Glenda Carpenter, but I don't think we have anybody that was at that first service. We did have up until this year. We lost two members of our church family this year, Charles and Joyce Anderson, who were charter members. They were at Crestwood, and they came over. Their names are all through the scrapbook of the charter members who were a part of launching this new thing in West Des Moines. The first service there's the bulletin of the first service right there. We have a copy. I don't know who had the foresight to keep all this stuff and whoever put it in this great scrapbook. Thank you. But there's the cover of the bulletin, and then there's the outline of the first service, and they sang hymns like, Come Thou Almighty King, and Come Ye Thankful People Come, and For the Beauty of the Earth, and ended with Wherever He Leads I Go. And then they had a message by Reverend David Bunch that entitled, Give Thanks for the Gospel. That first month that they met, so only two Sundays, that November, they took up $1,127 in offering. Doesn't sound like a lot, but in inflation kicking in, that's $7,600 in 2 weeks. That's not too shabby, is it? They paid for a post office box, $1.36, just in case anybody was wondering. December, they kept taking money in and taking offerings to help build this church. They took in $6,100, which in today's dollars would be $41,000 that they took in December. That's impressive. There were some people that were very committed to getting this church started. They met for that first year. They had various pastors in to kind of help pastor and minister and preach during that time. And they made it that first year, and they began a tradition that first year of a Thanksgiving celebration service just like we're doing today, an anniversary and Thanksgiving service. For 14 months, the church was pastored by three different individuals. They kind of came in and helped preach and rotated around and did what the church needed to do. Then in 1973, April of 73, so about 14 months in, the church was ready to call their first pastor, paid pastor, who was Reverend Byron Epps. And then also in 73, they constituted as a church. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing that used to take place, not as much today, but as you would begin a new church, you would have a planting church or a mother church. And they would partner with you and support you and be there for you. And then as you got your feet on the ground, as you became more established, then you would kind of move away from that planting church and kind of be your own entity. And so it was 2 years later after they started that they became their own church, officially a church. But 1974 came, and it was not a great year. It was a challenging period for the church. The pastor resigned. Several members left. In fact, I read in part of the history, the writings that were in that scrapbook, it talked about how during that year there was actually conversations of can we continue as a church? But the church felt like yes, because of the conversations, because of the commitment, because of their mission and purpose for being here, that yes, we can do this. This is something we need to keep doing. The pastor of Crestwood stepped in to help out here. Pastor Bill, let me get this right, last name, Offalter. Pastor Bill Offalter. And so he pastored two churches at the same time. He pastored Crestwood and he took care of the West Des Moines Baptist Church. And he encouraged a very discouraged church to keep pressing on. But they do, and they keep pressing on. And then 1975, the church decides to buy some property. Not this property, down the street, 4816 Ashworth Road. They bought that house. Can you see that? I know it's there. I've tried to see it. I just can't ever find it when I drive by. But you can imagine, you look there, there's actually a floor plan in the scrapbook of how they divided the house up for people to meet in various places. You see some pictures of the living space they turned into, the worship space with the pews, and then you see there's a fellowship happening up there. It was also this year, in 75, where they decided to change the name. That's when they decided to move away from West Des Moines as the name because they realized that they were reaching people from Des Moines and Urbandale and all around, and they thought, we're on Ashworth Road. We might as well name ourselves Ashworth Road Baptist Church. And so they did. And then from 75 to 77, there were multiple pastors from Crestwood that would step in and help the church during that time. And then in 1977, there was enough stability. The things had worked out, and the church was able to call their second full-time pastor. And that was Reverend Mike McKinney. And Mike McKinney was here from 1977 to 1988, and he had a great ministry. He was a well-loved pastor. He did a great job, and it was under his leadership that they realized that they needed to move out of the house. They were outgrowing the house, and that they needed new property. Now, I've met Mike McKinney before. He's a wonderful man, and I've never gotten the opportunity to tell him, but I want to thank him for the foresight and vision to purchase the property that we're at today. Because from what I understand, Ashworth Road was a dirt road. There were cornfields all around here. There was nothing. And yet in somehow, Mike and the leadership at that time said, you know what, let's buy this property at the corner of Ashworth Road and Interstate 35. Now, let's see here, I've got the numbers. So they did that, they bought the property, they borrowed. I don't know if this was the purchase price, it just says borrowed. Mr. Lyle may be able to help me here. $70,000. Sounds like a lot, right? Back then, that would equal $320,000. For 3 acres in West Des Moines, anybody willing to go in and buy that today? I think we would. I think the last appraisal I saw on this property was $2 million, so I think we're doing okay. Contract was signed with a company called Built Right Homes. And we actually still have the contract for building this building. It's amazing. And they were going to construct this facility. $227,000. Anybody want to guess what that is in today's money? Just shy of $1 million. That's a lot of faith, isn't it? It's a lot of faith. Then in June 6th, 1979, we had our very first worship service in this room. looked a little different. You guys have always noticed the ceiling kind of drops back there, so you're always like, what happened here? It wasn't quite the way it is today. But we had this building, and over the years, we've added on, we've expanded. But from 1979 to 1983, saw both loss and growth for the church. As we all know, this is a very transient community, and so we see people move in, we see people move out because of jobs. And what happened in 1982 and 83 is it says the membership began to shift as more people from other faiths and longtime residents of the community began to attend. And this is a quote from the book. It says, "This seems to indicate that God is using Ashworth Church to minister to the needs of people and to reach people, which is our primary purpose for existing." Now think about that for just a moment. That's in 1983. So that's not yesterday, but it also wasn't just a couple of days after they planted and launched. It took a long time to get to that place. It took a long time to get some stability. Fun fact, October of 1981, a daycare was started. Hey, we just did that again. See, history repeats itself. 1988, Mike McKinney resigns, and then the next year they hired a new pastor. His name was Dr. Robert Canoy. I've had the opportunity to meet him. Great guy. He led the church through some very difficult times as well. That was when, as a church, the church began to explore the possibility of affirming women in leadership. And the way I understand the story is that the way we used to do deacon selection is you'd get a ballot and you'd circle like three names. Well, for a year or two, one name kept coming to the top of the list. Somebody's still a part of our church today, and that was Michelle Griswell. She kept turning it down, turning it down, turning it down. Until finally, Dr. Canoy just said, "Michelle, it would seem that God wants you to do this, and I think this is what our church, the direction we need to go." And she said, "Yes." With that, though, didn't come a lack of controversy because we were a Southern Baptist church at the time. And Southern Baptist, that's kind of a no-no in that world. And so we had to move away from being a Southern Baptist church, which led to people that were diehard Southern Baptists leaving the church. So in a small type of a church split. I do have here that in 1991, March the 10th, Donnie Moran was ordained as a deacon. That was written down, Donnie. That was more than just yesterday, wasn't it? As I said, in the early 90s, when we made the decision to affirm women, there was kind of some turmoil in the church. And you can read through the history of the church. It wasn't an easy period. Dr. Canoy left early 90, like 94, in that time frame. And then the church hired another pastor. And that pastor was here for about 4 or 5 years. Wasn't able to leave in a great exit. It was kind of a tumultuous exit for him. Some people left with him when he did. The one thing about the history of Ashworth is we have a long history of interim pastors. I don't even know that I could list all the interim pastors we've ever had. We've had a ton. Am I right, guys? But through those times, it presents challenges for the church. In the early 2000s, there were more interim pastors and another pastor resignation that wasn't necessarily a rah-rah kind of moment, and more families left the church. Then something interesting happened in the 2000s. In 2005, the church decided to call a guy who was pastoring a church in Arkansas, and he said yes, and he came up here, and it was when this guy was here. His name's Tim, and Tim, when he gets here, about a year in, he calls me and he says, "Brent, I think we're going to hire a full-time person." Now, I was not the first full-time staff person. They'd had other full-time education, music, ministers all throughout the history. I wasn't really interested at first. I had a nice job, a good life. My family and I were pretty settled. It was easy, pretty easy life, to be honest. But I thought, let's see where this goes. Let's kick the tires and try it out. And in 2007, I accepted the role of associate pastor of worship and youth. That was taken in May of 2007. 1987. I just jumped back in time. Sorry. In 2011, Tim left. And I will tell you, that was an interesting period for me. Tim had brought me here. We'd been great friends for 10 years. And I thought, what in the world is going to happen? And this crazy group of people said, "Brent, would you be willing to be our interim pastor for about 6 months?" And I said, "Well, sure, I'm not doing anything else. Why not?" And then in June of 2012, I began as the 8th full-time senior or lead pastor of Ashworth Church. Now, I did some that is taken from that time frame as well, just a few differences, one less child there than we have today. So, You know, I've had the privilege of being on staff here at this church for 14 years, 4 months, and 21 days, but who's counting? I've calculated, I've been on staff 29% of the life of this church. I'm going for more. It's been a fun ride. In 2010, Lynn Oswald joined our staff. She's still with us. She's doing our book still. In 2013, Carrie started leading our children's ministry. 2014, Amy came on staff as a team pastor. And then in 2021, Carrie took on additional responsibilities of our Ashworth Learning Center director. And we brought on our team, Elizabeth Pavey, who is not just a great administrator and ministry partner here, but she's an awesome volleyball player. Am I right?
Yeah.
Volleyball team? That's right.
Amen.
Good catch there, Garrett. This is her husband, in case you didn't know. What's interesting is, as you read the history of the church, it is full of ups and downs. It is not, man, we started and it was just growth and easy and life went good. There were ups and there were downs. There were challenges and then there were celebrations. We've seen it all. But you know, through it all, God has been so incredibly faithful. Each and every time. I mean, look at this room today. You realize that 1 year ago when we were doing this worship service, I don't know that we had 5 people in the room. COVID was raging. And I looked at an email from last year and it actually said, we're going to still meet on Sunday morning. We're going to produce a live worship service, but please don't come. You can come if you want to, but please don't come. I mean, that's what the email said. So I know that as I look around this room today, and yeah, we're full with tables, but I look and I see family. And I see people that are just continuing to give themselves to the cause that was started 50 years ago. And as much as I want us to celebrate Ashworth Church today, this isn't a celebration of Ashworth Church. This is a celebration of a God who has been so incredibly faithful to this body for 50 years. A couple of years ago in a message, I shared with you the purpose statement. That's what you see. It's actually typewritten on that really thin paper in that scrapbook. It's amazing. But you look at this purpose statement that this first group of people set down in 1971. And as I looked at it, and again last night, and as I was reading it, I thought, you know, it's amazing to me how little has changed. Because it talks about being a church that's strong in Bible teaching. I think we would agree that's definitely still a priority for us here. We want to have simple and effective ministries. We don't want to duplicate things. We don't think we have to be all things to all people, but we want to make sure it's simple and effective with the goal of helping us reach people. It talks about relying on the Holy Spirit. Absolutely, we still do. We want to be strong Christian witnesses, both when we meet here on Sunday and when we're out in the community during the week. We want to welcome everyone who wants to attend. We want to care about one another and share one another's burdens. And we want to avoid creating barriers that push those away who are not yet following Jesus. That's my favorite statement right here, number 8. It says, avoid the use of the word Southern Baptist in our advertising so that our goal of establishing a church to reach the natives of West Des Moines might be accomplished. You know what I read there? Let's remove the barriers. We don't have to construct barriers to keep people away from Jesus. We're the ones that will continue, as we have done for 50 years, to knock them down and help everybody in this community come to know, love, and follow Jesus. And so today, we've simplified that purpose statement and we just say it like this. We exist to help connect individuals to Jesus, to one another, and to our community.
Hi everyone, my name is Savannah Roska, formerly Savannah Oswald. So you probably know my family. Scott and Lynn are my parents, Megan and Ashley are my younger sisters. And I went to Ashworth forever. So when Amy asked me to talk about what Ashworth means to me, I started crying first. Ashworth is where my parents got married, where I got baptized, where I met Jesus. Ashworth's where I had my first crush. I went to a preschool there. I was there three nights a week, sometimes Sunday, Wednesday. Another random thing happened. Ashworth's like a second home to me growing up. It's where I learned how to read my Bible and how to pray and how to be a friend. It's where I got to go on mission trips and serve and volunteer, which led me to being a social worker now. It's where I saw marriages and healthy couples that helped me figure out what I deserved and the person that I wanted to marry. Ashworth means so much to me. Oh, it's where some people there are more family than my extended family is. Some people would come watch my soccer games growing up and encourage me. It's where I saw people, especially women, be leaders and be empowered, and just saw how church is the bride. And I really felt that at Ashworth, I learned how to work in groups and learned what being the feet of Jesus means and so much more. And so I love Ashworth, and I'm so excited that it's 50 years. So congrats to everyone.
Hello, Ashworth family. I'm sorry that Carl and I cannot be with you today for this wonderful celebration of 50 years. But please know that we're with you in spirit and all. Carla and I joined Ashworth Road Baptist Church in 1987, and that was right when we moved over here from the Quad Cities. Our first Sunday, we visited Dr. Child's adult Sunday school class, and we were accepted right away. The church has always given us opportunities to serve, and back then, and on an ongoing basis and all. In fact, my first opportunity to serve was to teach third, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders Sunday school and all. And if you know me, that does not fit into my comfort zone. But God was with me and all, and helped me and study that, made me study the Bible so much more and get in depth in it, because those little minds there, you never knew where they were going to go. And so you had to be ready for all of that. But Carla?
I found my niche in with the youngest children in the church. I worked in the nursery and also in the toddler room for years, both in Sunday school and also in the VBS.
Well, Ashworth Church has always had a wonderful, caring congregation, Lord, and it's just truly want to engage in authentic worship as well as taking care of the needs of others. And all. In fact, I'd like to take this time right now, if I could, and thank the prayer team and our congregation for all of the prayers that have been offered on my behalf and all of the cards of encouragement that you guys have sent and everything during my illness. I really appreciate that, and I know God has been hearing those prayers and all, and I want to thank you all for that. And you guys have a great celebration today, and we're with you in spirit.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Ashworth, my name's Alan, and I went to youth there, and I just want to say happy anniversary. Super excited for y'all, and I'm just excited for the next 50 years and what God has in store for this this church, this body. I can tell you right now that this place is a special place to me. I grew up going there pretty much. I spent hours in Brent's office or Ryan's office or playing football or in the youth room and just hanging out there. It's a second home. It's a place where I learned about God, the place where I learned about Jesus, the place where I learned how to read the Bible or ask hard questions, the place where I could go doubt and ask Brent or Ryan or Scott or whoever. The thing that I just remember is the people and their impact on me and how much they loved me and how much they cared for me and wanted what was best for me, and they show me the way of Jesus. Each family I interact with, each member of that body showed me how to be a follower of Christ. And I am the person I am today because of the many experiences or the conversations or the laughters or whatever it is. Because of this church body, I am the person I am today. And I thank God because everyone that I interacted with there showed me Jesus. And so I'm super excited for y'all, and excited for what God has in store, and how you guys will bless the community around. So I'll be praying for y'all, and I love y'all. Have a good one. Bye.
Well, good morning, Ashworth. For those who don't know me, I'm Ryan Lenners, and I'm a team pastor here. Former team pastor. You had to understand I was going to make that joke, and as soon as I started saying it, I know that you were hearing what I was going to say before I even said it. A man of consistency, I am. In almost 9 years, I have so many incredible fond memories from all of you and the things that we have experienced together, the fun events, the missions trips I've been on with the youth, the different conversations and sharing our hearts with one another that we've had at various times in the foyer or in one-on-one meetings. You all have been the best church family I could have asked for in my time at Ashworth. And not just to me, but to my entire family. I counted up. In the almost 9 years I was with you all, I had 16 different foster kids come through my home who used the kids program, they used the youth ministry, and you loved them all so well. You supported the family that I had, however many kids I brought in tow with me. You supported my wife and I so well through all the ups and the downs that we had in our foster care journey. And so I'm so grateful for that. Beyond my own family, though, so many of my memories are tied to the ministry that I've done alongside and with you all in youth ministry, spending so many Wednesday nights cooking a meal for these kids and sitting and hearing what's going on in their school day with teachers and homework and boyfriends and girlfriends. Of course, you hear that. Going on mission trips is when you hear tenfold what's going on in their lives and you have these deep spiritual moments. I remember the Thursday night foot washings that we did several different times, the times I've prayed over these kids, the times that we've had ridiculous fun in the van just going and doing silly events. And speaking of events, at Ashworth, we did some really crazy stuff as well. Beyond the bubble ball battle we've talked about, you let us set up a light show. Really, that was for me. I love Christmas lights, and you let me do it. And you said, you know what? This is great for the community. I love your willingness to let us try some silly things, to let us try shaved ice, to let us try going to a gym and bringing inflatables or doing laser tag and the many different things. I love serving alongside you all. Turkey picking is probably my favorite service event. While we're covered in grease up to our elbows, and some of you are mad at me because I keep bringing you turkeys and they never seem to end, it's a time that we get to bless the community and we get to just have our, you know, let our hair down and have some fun doing some very hard work. And it was through all this ministry together that it allowed me to form so many great friendships with you all. Serving alongside people like Warren Brady, he did more in that building with me than anybody else. We have many laughs doing work together side by side. Many memories with the youth and the stuff that we've done. I was able to be more than just their youth pastor. I was able to become their friend. They let me into their lives, and that was so important. And obviously with the staff, you all know my relationship with the staff there at Ashworth, Brent and Amy and Carrie and Lynn, goes so far beyond just co-workers, but it was truly friendship, lives shared. And it was because of all that life shared that it truly formed and shaped me as a person and the pastor that I am today. It's because of those relationships with you all, your grace and your patience for me, sometimes the feedback that you gave me that allowed me to grow into who I am, and that I'm able to now be here at First Baptist in Sheridan and to be able to take this and share Jesus with them in the person that I am and how I've been shaped, that they see God's grace and peace and patience inside of me. And it's because I know that I still have a church family that I can count on, that I can go back to. If you don't know, I still call Brent way too often for his advice on stuff. And so today I simply want to say to you all, congratulations. It's your day to celebrate what God has been doing for 50 years at Ashworth Church. Started with a small band in West Des Moines. You've become, through the years, some incredible blessings to the community. And I hope and look forward to what God is going to continue to do through you all, as ultimately, Ashworth is not your church, it is God's church. And He simply works through you as a vehicle to bring His blessings and His peace and His grace to the community around.
Okay, I love hearing you talk with each other. I asked a couple of people to be willing to share just in the room. So if I can have your attention, I'm gonna ask Noelle. I love story sharing, so this is good. We're gonna have lunch after this, so keep your stories up and share with each other. But I asked Noelle if she'd be willing to share with us this morning, and then one or two other people are going to share, and then we'll worship some more.
Okay. Hi, Ashworth. Hey. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Noelle Turk. When I was asked to speak a little bit this morning about my experiences at Ashworth, I honestly thought, where do I even start? I've been at Ashworth my entire life. In fact, my mom became a member of this church when she was 8 years old. Yeah. She is older than Brent, yes. So I have a lot of memories to share with y'all, which means buckle up, we could be here a while. No, I'm just kidding, but in all seriousness, I'm not able to share every experience or even touch the surface, but I hope I can give you a little insight into my 29 years here as a part of the Ashworth family. My earliest memories are from when I was in children's ministry. I remember the endless crafts, music, Sunday school lessons, and vacation Bible school weeks. They even let me act on this stage, so that was my debut to my very short acting career. My love for Jesus began through these times, and it continued to grow into my adolescence. In youth group, we went on mission trips, learned about how to share Jesus with others, and how to make steps in our relationships with Christ independently. Another huge part of my experience at Ashworth is through music. My love for music developed here in this sanctuary, though it looked a lot different back then. I remember standing on the pews next to my mom, being able to see the worship leader conducting us while singing a variety of traditional hymns. And as soon as I was old enough, I decided to ask if I could join our worship team, which was a choir with robes. And they did allow me. Times have changed. Flash forward a few more years when Brent came to Ashworth. With his help, we were able to start a contemporary worship service on Saturday nights. And boy, Brent was determined to get me singing contemporary music on this stage. I agreed, but I'm not even sure I actually sang for the first few years. Although I eventually got over my fears and realized the gift the Lord has given me to lead worship. I'm so grateful that since starting singing here, I've been able to lead hundreds and hundreds of people in worship at this church and even outside of these walls. Okay, I was even trapped in the kitchen downstairs by a cute guy named Turk 6 years ago, who later became my husband. I do have to give Amy and Brent credit for this. They were working behind the scenes. I don't know where I would be without them. We ended up getting married right here, and I couldn't be more grateful for this huge step in my life, being here in my second home. I think I've spent more hours in this building than I have any individual house in my life. Surrounded by you, my second family, and done by you, my second dad. Ashworth has continued to provide amazing experiences for me, whether it be Sunday morning worship, volleyball with some of the young adults, discipleship groups, mission trips, being on the worship team, serving in the community, or making amazing friends and mentors through this community. I've laughed, cried, grown both physically and spiritually, and become the woman I am today because this church was started 50 years ago. I could not be more thankful for this place and all the beautiful memories I have here. I'm more excited than ever to see the ways that God will use this church in the next 50 years to share his love with more and more people. Thank you.
One of the things I love about Ashworth is that we have people like Noelle who have been here forever and have sweet memories of years and years and years. And then we have people who've just joined us recently in recent years and have had an impact too. Tim, do you want to just share briefly?
Sure. I can play my own soundtrack to the make this really emotional. It's been a delight to be part of Ashworth, and it's been a pivotal ministry in my life for so many reasons, but really for all of my adult life until I moved back to Iowa. I was agnostic and didn't practice any religion, didn't particularly care for it, and when I got back here, I knew I was missing something, and I knew that my spiritual nature wasn't being fulfilled, and I called up Brent and said, "Hey, you're pretty cool. I can always talk to you, and you don't try to shove anything down my throat. Let's hang out." And so he came over to meet me, and we started hanging out pretty regularly, and I started dropping by and catching Ryan and Brent in their offices, and ask deep theological questions, and they surprise you by having an answer or telling you why there isn't one because they've read all of the books that they don't even agree with on it. And so there was just a lot of mentorship and a lot of meat on the bones for me in coming back to faith and understanding. And this church has just been such a huge support in our family's life. And I really think that, coming through the doors of this church brought me back to God. And I think that's kind of our unofficial mission statement here, being church for people who have been burned by church before. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of it. It felt like a very welcome place for me to work that out. So I'm deeply grateful for all the staff here and for all the folks who have given me advice and prayed for me and brought over meals when we had babies and stuff like that. It's a great community, and I thank God for it.
What a celebration. I tell you, I do get misty occasionally watching that video, Noelle, wherever you just landed, the nice words. And I think about just all my relationships with you. You guys really are my family. And I love this church. I think this is a very unique and special place. As I thought about what to say today, these moments make me incredibly nervous because it's like it needs to be good, right? It's like you got to cast the vision and it's got, rally the troops and yeah, let's get excited. And, I just thought, the thing I can say to you this morning is just, we've been a church for 50 years, and as amazing as it is to look back, where we're going is equally important. And a church for the next 50 years. What's funny is this church today looks nothing like it did 50 years ago. It looks nothing like it did 14 years ago when I joined it. It doesn't look anything like it did even 2 years ago. But that's not a bad thing. I think one of the things that allows a church to grow, that allows a church to continue to make an impact, is its ability to recognize the world around us and respond. And I think what I see in Ashworth has been a church that in the beginning said, look, there's a need. Let's go where there's a need. And over 50 years, this church has been responsive. How do we continue to meet the needs in this community? How do we continue to show and reflect Jesus Christ? You guys need to know, there's some people in this room that have been around a little while. Lyle and Glenda, 1978.
Is that when you guys joined? Is that right? I've been here that long. Give my hand. Give that. I may embarrass Mr. Lyle right here, but he was critical. God used him in an incredible way in this church in 1977 and 78. They were a part of Crestwood Baptist. And when Mike McKinney came and when he starts talking about buying this land and building this building, that man right there was chairman of finance or on the finance team some way, and he helped secure the loans, helped secure the bonds, signed the papers himself to make this building possible. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Man, amazing. Donnie and Cookie, how long?
38.
38 years. Wow. That's amazing. Laura DeLong, you've been here a while.
45.
Wow. It's exactly right. Give them a hand. All right, let's just see here. If you've been here longer than 30, go ahead and put up your hand. Anybody else that made the 30 mark? Mary Flynn's back there. Leslie.
Only 29.
Leslie's been here at least 50 years. She may have been here from the beginning. There's Kim Runge over here. And isn't that amazing? That in this church, we have all these people that have been around this long, that they can tell you. I've had many conversations with them to hear the history, to talk about the highs. And we do love talking about the good old days, but they'll also tell you about the hard times, the difficult times, the challenging times that were here. But you know what makes the difference? Is this isn't just a church we come to. It's not just a buffet of ministry that we come and say, let me pick what I like. We are a body. We are a church. We are a family. And so it should mean something when you separate from the family. And these people say, we're here. This is my family. I'm not going anywhere. And I'm going to stay here until the end. God has used this place for 50 years in a powerful powerful way. The image I always like to think about is those who have come before us, and there are many, and we are here today because of their sacrifice. Don Peck, wasn't it great to see him on video? Oh my goodness, I love that man, love Carla. Still praying for them. Working in a toddler room, or a twos and threes room, or a four, whatever. Not his calling, but you know why you do that? Because you're family. It's what you do, you know, and we commit, and that's so critical. But we stand on the shoulders of these people, some that are in this room, some that aren't, but we are here today because of the foundation that they laid for us to be able to be here and enjoy this today. But the question is, who will be standing on our shoulders?
Right.
I don't know about you. I probably think about this way too much, but I think about the time when I won't be here. Let's say 50 years from now. Leslie, we're 29, so we could be here at 99. It's possible, Leslie. Probably won't be here in 50 years. But I would love to think that the time I've spent and the blood, sweat, and tears that we've poured into this place, that when they're here celebrating 100 years, maybe they don't even fit in this room. I don't even care if they do. But maybe it looks just like this. And the faces, some of the faces will be new. Some of you may be here. Garrett, you're young enough. You're like 12. You'll be here. It's fine. But some of you guys will be here, hopefully. And you can stand here and you can talk about this. But I want the next generation standing on my shoulders. I want to lay the foundation. I want to build on what's already been here, and I want to continue to build so that this church that has had an incredible ministry for 50 years has an incredible ministry for at least 50 more. That is my prayer, and that is my desire. As I was thinking about just verses to share here today, I tell you, there's so many, but I thought about the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12. There's a great passage. Hebrews chapter 11,
It's a wonderful chapter in the Bible. It's just a listing of people of faith from the Old Testament. People who followed God, people who gave their lives for God, not really ever realizing the fullness of what God was asking them to do, but trusting God and giving themselves completely for it. And he talks about from Abel to all the way up through the end of the Old Testament, people who gave themselves to God. And then the writer of Hebrews starts chapter 12, and it's no chapters in the original, but the next part of that letter says this. It says, what about us then? We've talked about all these great people of faith, but what about us then? You see, we have such a great cloud of witnesses all around us. And I know when I read that a lot, I would often think about being in an arena with just masses of people around you, cheering us on. As we go further, we'll see we're talking about a race. But really, that's not the image that we get. It's not that there are hundreds and millions of people in the stands cheering us on. It's the people that have already crossed the finish line. They're waiting at the finish line, clapping for us, saying, come on, get here, keep coming, you can do this. And the writer continues on and says, so what must we do? What do we need to do to run this race? We've got the witnesses there around us, they're at the finish line, they're cheering us on. So what must we do? We must put aside each heavy weight and the sin. Where did I go? Yep, and the sin which gets in the way so easily. I'm not a runner. Hate running. Think the only good reason to run is if you're being chased by something. Amen. Thank you. I know that there are times when runners train and they will put on a weighted vest. Growing up, I remember my brother wore ankle weights. Anybody remember those? Velcroed around your ankles there. Why do you do that? To build up your strength and endurance. But in the Olympics, you never see anyone approach the starting line with a weighted vest or ankle weights on. Why? Because when it's time to run the race, it's time to shed that stuff and to lay it aside. And the writer here is reminding us there are things in our lives that will weigh us down. The things that we prioritize, the things that we think are more important than our relationship with Jesus, the sins that keep drawing us back in. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, when it's time to run the race, it's time to set that stuff aside. The writer continues on and says, and we must run the race that lies in front of us. And we must run it patiently. You know why I hate running? Because I can never figure out the pace. I always start too fast and I get to the end of the block and I'm like, whoo! I mean, I'm only two houses down from the end of the block, but I mean, still, it's like, whoo! You know, all out sprint. You see, when we take that first step to follow Jesus, we're in the race, we're running that race, and it's time to set aside the things that are weighing us down, and it's time to run with endurance, run patiently, to pace ourselves. You see, the Christian life is not a sprint. It's not 100 yards or 100 meters and we're done. It's 50 years plus more. That's why this is so important. We run the race patiently. I worked with guys in the past at churches, and I remember one pastor in particular that he would always get so frustrated because things just didn't happen fast enough. You know, let me tell you something. God plays the long game. We should too. We don't have to be Speedy Gonzales everywhere we go. We just need to make sure we're running the race before us. We shed the stuff that's weighing us down. And then the writer continues and says, we must look ahead to Jesus. He is the one who carved out the path for faith. You realize the path we're on, individually and together as a church, it's not new. It feels new, doesn't it? Yeah. Our post-COVID world, good golly, it feels new. But Jesus has already gone before us. He's blazed the trail. And what the temptation is sometimes is to run like this.
I love 50th anniversary for us. I love every anniversary for us. I love the moment where we get to look back, and I love the moment where we get to celebrate those who have come before us, but we don't go the next 364 days like this. We take our eyes and we put them forward because that's where Jesus is. Jesus is out in front of us. He's one of the ones at the finish line. He's already crossed it and he's applauding you. Come on. Come on, you as an individual. Come on, Ashworth Church. You can do this. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's always going to be butterflies and rainbows. There's going to be hard times. But if we've paced ourselves, if we shed the things that can weigh us down, and if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will cross the finish line. And then those that are behind us, they're going to keep running that race. And then we start cheering them on. You see, as we think about this race that we're in, it's not the one where we're individually running. We're running this together, collectively. Amy was telling me this week, she was describing a Peloton. I thought it was just a bike company. It's not. You know what that is? It's when cyclists get together and they bunch up. You know why they do that? Drafting. This incredible scientific thing that happens that said the first person exerts the most effort, and then everybody that comes behind gets to do the same amount of work, get the same distance with just a little bit effort, less effort. That's what we're about. That's what we're supposed to be. This isn't about how you cross the finish line. It's about how we run the race together. And sometimes somebody may stumble and fall. And you know what we do? We stop, we turn around, and we go pick them up. And when things get hard and when things get challenging, we stand there and we wrap our arms around each other and we encourage each other. You see, this is what has to happen for us to be not just a church for the last 50 years, but a church for the next 50 years as well. We're looking forward and keeping our eyes on Jesus. 50 years. I'm glad it's 50 because I'm only 47. It means it started before me. I'm glad. That's amazing. I was looking this week and I was reminded that about the number of church plants that fail in the first 5 years. It's staggering. And even though we had our difficulty, even though we've had to restart a few times, we're still here. And we're not about us. We're about God making his name known and about reaching our community. And for 50 years, God has been good. We see his faithfulness through 5 decades of our existence, even if many of us have only been here for a small portion of that. But God is still writing the Ashworth story. I want you to know that. And now you are a part of that story. Isn't that exciting? And as I said, as we stand on the shoulders of those that have come before, we're leaving a legacy for those who will come after. I want you to know our mission has never changed. We do a lot of crazy stuff. As Ryan was talking in the video, shaved ice, we've got the daycare started, but we do goofy stuff sometimes. But I want you to know that our purpose, our mission has never changed. We may say it in different ways, but we are still about connecting people with Jesus and each other and the community. And it doesn't matter where we do that, whether it's here on Sunday mornings or in a bar on Tuesday nights or in a coffee shop on Saturday mornings, when we are together, God is among us. We are the church. We are Ashworth. And as I said, I don't know about you, but I want to leave that legacy. I want to leave it better than I found it, and I want to point people to Jesus. My question for you this morning is, who's with me?
Amen.
Who's with me?
Yeah.
Who's with me? And I don't care if you've been at Ashworth for 40 plus years or a week, God is not done here. And let's join together. Let's challenge the status quo. Let's be countercultural in this world and let's show what life in the kingdom of God it's really like. Let's do the hard things. Let's change the world for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. And I just want you to know this, I can be the eternal optimist. I know that about myself, but even the Apostle Paul, when he wrote 2,000 years ago in Ephesians 3, he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever." Did you catch that? To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could even ask or imagine. That gets me excited.
Yes.
Because that means God's got greater ideas for Ashworth Church than I do. He's got things on the horizon for us that I can't even imagine now. And I want to get there. I want to see what he's doing and where he's going. So, here's... I wish we had glasses so we could toast this. Here's to this church. To what we may not even be able to think or imagine, but to a healthy, vibrant, authentic church that makes Jesus known and loves our community. Here's to another 50 years, Ashworth Church. Let's pray.